A reading from the book of Numbers. The Lord said to Moses, "Speak to Aaron and his sons and tell them, 'This is how you shall bless the Israelites.' Say to them, 'The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord let his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you kindly and give you peace.' So shall they invoke my name upon the Israelites, and I will bless them." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Galatians. Brothers and sisters, when the fullness of time had come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to ransom those under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. As proof that you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying out, "Abba, Father." So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then also an heir through God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The shepherds went in haste to Bethlehem and found Mary and Joseph and the infant lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known the message that had been told them about this child. All who heard it were amazed by what had been told them by the shepherds. And Mary kept all these things, reflecting on them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as it had been told to them. When 8 days were completed for his circumcision, he was named Jesus, the name given him by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. The Gospel of the Lord. Now, I do thank Father Kevin for giving this kind of orphaned priest a home for a few days after Christmas. Every priest needs a little bit of fellowship, so I really appreciate it. And he was very gracious in mentioning how we had served together, lived together in the seminary, but he forgot one thing. He forgot the fact that when he was newly ordained, the bishop assigned him to me as my first parochial vicar. So I was his pastor. I know so much about Father Kevin that I can share with you. I'm not going to do that this evening. I'll wait for a weekend when he's not here. But those were great years. As you know, as Bishop DiLorenzo said to me, he's like, "I've put the two of you together because you have no idea what you're doing. You have no idea what you're doing. And you're just going to have a great time. And when you make mistakes, you'll just keep going because you don't know any better." I remember those years. Those were great, great years. You know, as I mentioned, we were together at as newly ordained priests. We were assigned at historic St. Paul's Catholic Church in Portsmouth, Virginia. So if you've never been to historic St. Paul's Catholic Church, it's nearly as old as St. Andrew's and almost as beautiful as St. Andrew's. Almost. St. Andrew's a little more beautiful than St. Paul's. But it's just a very special parish located kind of in the old town area of Portsmouth, Virginia, kind of a Navy town. And when I was down there, you know, in those years, I began to slowly, very slowly grasp the real meaning of the Blessed Virgin Mary and the lives of God's faithful people. In those early years, you know, I always prayed the rosary growing up. I knew theologically about the Blessed Virgin Mary. But it was in those years, those early years of priesthood, that I began to kind of witness how important Mary really is to the faithful and to her priests. You know, many of the elderly parishioners at the time shared stories about how after their own children were baptized, the priest would carry the newly baptized infant, to the Marian altar. At St. Paul's, that altar was right over here, and they would carry the child over and place the child on the altar and consecrate that newly baptized infant to the maternal care of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And then others shared how their first Holy Communion classes would process from the local Catholic school to that same altar to crown Mary on the first day of May as they were preparing themselves to receive Holy Communion for the first time later that spring. The Marian processions. And then through the years, I witnessed brides and grooms reverently placing bouquets of roses at that same Marian altar on their wedding day, asking Mary's prayers as they began a new life together in the sacrament of marriage. And then weekly, as families struggled with the difficulties of life, they would come into the church, often late in the afternoon or sometimes early evening before the church was locked up, and they'd go over quietly and kneel before that altar and pray and then light a votive candle. And through the night, that candle would burn and those prayers were kind of lifted up by Mary to her son in heaven. And then when many family members and loved ones realized that someone that they cared about was close to death, they would often come into that exact same altar in that church and kneel down and ask Mary to welcome their loved one or their family member, their friend, into heaven that night. You know, welcome that loved one home to heaven and introduce that loved one to her son. Simply put it, in those years, and nearly every single day since, in almost every parish that I had the privilege of visiting and celebrating Mass and doing pastoral work in, I learned that we not only want, but I think each one of us, you and I alike, deep down we truly need Mary to be a part of our lives. We want Mary, but we need Mary as well to be a part of our lives, to accompany us with her prayers through this life. For she is the mother of Jesus, which makes her the mother of God. She's the mother of the church, which makes her our heavenly mother as well. And how fitting it is then, as a church, that we as a family of faith gather together as we begin 2021, thank God. That's right, 2021, thank God. I have to say that, because we made it. We made it. To honor her, first and foremost, we give thanks and praise to God. But tonight we also honor his mother. And we ask for her prayers amidst all the things that are going on in our lives. And we seek from her the grace of her son to help us find our path through what has become a very confusing year behind us and to kind of an uncertain future ahead of us in our own lives. Indeed, Mary has one beautiful role in our lives, and this is what I've come to know and love. Mary has one role, and that is to lead us to her son, and she is very, very good at that, leading us through all the complexities of our lives to her son. And just as she pondered the mystery of her son coming to live within her and coming into the world, we too are called to ponder that mystery in our hearts as well, of a Lord who this evening in the Blessed Sacrament will come to dwell in us anew, and who each day asks us to go into the world to bring him ever more anew into the lives of those around us. And so as we ponder this mystery, let us thank God on the solemn feast of his Blessed Mother for allowing her to accompany us at each moment of our lives, until we can see the face of her son with her in eternity in heaven. Until then, we simply turn to her in prayer as we pray together. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women,
and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death.